Hey, Lorraine? Yeah, this is Jeff. Is Harold there? Yeah, thanks. Hey, how you doing, buddy? Yeah, what are you doing? The lawn? Oh, look, I just did the garage and I'm about to trim some bushes. I was wondering, you know, it's such a nice day. We shouldn't spend the whole day working. How about I get the convertible? I swing by, pick you up, and, I'll go to American Burger. Lorraine? Tell her we gotta go to Home Depot. Yeah. All right, great. I'll see you later. What a day. I feel like I got things done. I'm gonna go to American Burger and get myself a shake and some fries. We'll listen to a little of the radio. Oh, this is me. What a great day. Well, the bright side is I get to clean this up and I'll head out earlier, that's all.
Jeff?
Yo, neighbor, what's up?
No, Jeff, it's me, over here.
Where? I don't see anyone.
The radio, Jeff.
Oh, man. Now I know I shouldn't have had that beer on an empty stomach.
It's not the beer, Jeff. It's me, the Lord.
Oh, I get it. Hey, Warren, you got some kind of electronic gadget or something? You're pulling one over on me? Come on out. Where are you?
Jeff, there is no one here but you and I.
Am I picking up some kind of weird signal or something? Oh, no. You there, Lord?
Jeff, with no power, you cut the cord.
Yeah, that's right. We cut the cord, all right? Yeah. All right. If you're the Lord, then prove it.
Do you remember a prank you pulled on Mr. Rossetti? You put marbles in his hubcaps.
I was like 10 years old when that happened. Nobody knew I did that. Jesus Christ, it's really you! Holy!
That's right, Jeff. Just be quiet for a second.
What do you want me to do? You want to take off my shoes? You want me to kneel?
No, Jeff. Just listen. You are to call Leslie Maxey, the children's ministry director at church, and offer your services to help at Kids Blast.
You're kidding, right?
No, Jeff. I'm not kidding.
You know, Lord, I don't know. I think she's got all the help she needs. I don't think she really needs me, you know? And besides, I'm terrible with kids. I don't know how to teach kids.
Do you really think, Jeff, that she has all the people that she needs? Throw down the rake.
What?
Throw down the rake.
All right. Wait a minute. It's not going to turn into a snake or anything, is it? Because... A, I don't like snakes, and B, you remember the last time a snake was in the garden, what happened?
Throw down the rake.
All right, I threw it down.
Now,
didn't do anything.
Pick up your cell phone.
My cell phone?
Now, pick up your cell phone.
I don't have to throw this down, do I? Because it's like a couple hundred bucks.
No! Turn on your cell phone and play back your messages.
Hi, Jeff. This is Leslie from church. Do you think it's possible you could help out at Kids Blast this fall? We could really use your help. So give me a call, and I'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Yeah, I guess I didn't get that message, Lord.
Hit the playback again, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. Leslie here again. Your wife tells me you got the message. Could you get back to me? I think you would love working with the kids. So give me a call.
All right, I admit it. I got the message. But Lord, I can't teach kids.
Jeff, do you have children?
Well, Lord, you know I got two.
Jeff, do they read?
Yeah, they read.
Do they write?
They write.
Have you told them about me?
Of course I told them about you. But Lord, I can't teach kids.
Who is it, Jeff, that makes the grass you're standing on grow? Who is it that gave you life and a family? And who is it that can enable you to teach?
You, Lord.
Now go.
You want me to call her? Lord? Now what do I do?
Hey, let's give them a hand, shall we? Now, you probably figured out that's kind of a modern-day rendition of the burning bush scene with Moses. But one wonders, could somebody literally walk away from that and look at their cell phone and say the question, now what am I going to do? Well, in reality, that is the way it is in the biblical story. When Moses gets the word from God, now go, from the burning bush, Moses doesn't want to go. And God Almighty has just given him this instruction. And my guess is that is the way most of us are when we feel an instruction from God. We're not sure this is what we really want to do or should be doing, and we even raise some questions. Well, we're wrapping up our series, what we've called Need to Know, those things that as Christians need to be a part of our lives. We began the series looking at the principle that we need to be connecting with other people in a smaller group. Because if this is all you know of your Christian experience, coming to a Sunday morning, it's too big. Nobody here is going to get to know you, where you hurt, where you need to be stretched, where you need to grow. So you need to be in some smaller community of people that they can speak truth into your life and you can speak truth into their life. But we also need to be in church each week celebrating. Remember the great time we had last week with the confetti? And I heard Pastor Greg actually had cookies for you guys. People in Syosset were jealous because I didn't have cookies for them. But you know what? What was the point of that whole message? You need to be gathering with other people corporately to celebrate the greatness of our God. And today, we come to the understanding that we need to be contributing our time, talent, and treasure to the greater community so that together we can be edified and built up as a body. Now, here's the principle. If you attended all three of these messages, you have an opportunity for you. You qualify for having gone through our membership class. And if you would like to become a member of Shelter Rock Church, what you can do after the service is go out to the foyer, to the welcome table, and pick up a membership application. You can fill it out, having been to all three services, and you can hand it in at the office, you can fax it to us, or just hand it in at the welcome table. And what this will be is the next step will be an interview with some of the elders, and then an opportunity to be voted in at our next congregational meeting October 23rd. So if you're ready to become a member of Shelter Rock Church, by all means, continue this journey. But today we're going to look at that third principle, what it means to be a contributor to the kingdom of God. And there are three principles that I would say every Christian should believe in their heart. Now, here's the first one. It is a responsibility of every Christian to give their time to the Lord because my time is God's. My time is God's. It says this in Psalm 139, verse 16. King David is writing and he says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Which makes it very obvious that all my time belongs to who? God. He knows everything in all of my life from beginning to end. My time is his. Principle number one, a foundational truth. Here's the second one. All my talents belong to God. Every gifted thing that I do, they belong to God too. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now based on that phrase, did that sound like there are any Christians exempt? No. To every single Christian, to each one, a manifestation, a special empowering of God has been given to benefit yourself. No, to benefit the common good. And so my time belongs to God, and also my talents belong to God. Those things he's gifted me with. But there's a third thing. And what is that? Third thing is this. All I treasure belongs to God. Psalm 100 verse 3 says this. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Now, if we belong to God, does that mean everything I have belongs to him also? Yes, it does. The one follows the other. In fact, Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you did not? Three foundational principles. My time belongs to God. Everything in my life is in his book. My talents belong to God. He gave them to me to serve the greater good. And my treasure belongs to God. I am wholly owned by him. Therefore, he wholly owns everything I have. What are the implications of this? Now, my guess is if you've walked with the Lord for a while, you are probably good at two out of three of these. For example, you might be a person who's ready to give your time to God on a moment's notice. I mean, you're here on Sunday morning, and then others will be at the midweek Bible class on Wednesday because they just want to learn more about God, and still others will be at a women's gathering on Wednesday morning or a men's gathering on Friday to see the movie Courageous, and you're giving lots of time to the Lord. But when it comes to your talent, Lord, I don't really want to teach kids. I don't want to hang out with the youth group. I really don't feel like coming early to hand bulletins to somebody. That's not my thing, Lord. And so you're good at time, but not so much at sharing your talent. And then there are other people. When it comes to talent, when Leslie says, hey, we need volunteers for children's ministry, you're like the first to sign up. You're helping. You're doing whatever you can. But that treasure thing, that money thing, Lord, that's for people who have more money. That isn't for me. Lord, that they need to take care of that. And then I would say there's also that seasonal thing. Well, my point is this. I had my time of sharing my talent with people, but I'm past that now. It's for the young people to take care of it. You know, this week in my office, I was moving some furniture, and underneath my desk was a slide. Remember slides? We don't use them too much, do we? And I, of course, I picked it up and I looked at it, and my heart was warmed. It's a guy named Lauren Davis. When this picture was taken, he was approximately 85 years old. And this picture was taken in my church in Illinois as he was setting up the communion trays for 500 people, 85 years old. Do you know he served doing that, those communion trays, to 2 weeks before the Lord called him home at right around age 90? I loved Lauren Davis because he was the example of I want to be. It's not like I give my talents up to a certain age and then I pass the baton to those younger people. You give what you have to the point that the Lord lets you know when it's time to retire. You die. At that point, you can retire. Okay? And so, where are you struggling? Where is your area of strength? Is it your time? Is it your talent? Is it your treasure? This morning, we're going to look at one guy and his response to God on these very issues. Could you take a moment and pray with me? Father, we thank you for the opportunity this morning to study your word. And I pray come across in our minds and our hearts that we need to change. That we need to be aligned with your perfect will for our life. Toward that end, we submit ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, what I'd love for you to do now is to open your Bibles to the very story we saw dramatized in a modern way. Exodus chapter 3, second book in the Bible, chapter 3, starting in verse 1. If you're using one of our Bibles, you'll find this on page 41 in any of the Bibles located around the room. Exodus chapter 3, God has an incredible mission for Moses. Let's check it out, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why does the bush not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. All right, you know the story. You've seen the movies, I'm sure. God's deep voice calling Moses. Now here's what we want you to get today. God is looking for well-rounded Christians who are willing to say yes to the Lord in all areas of their life. God's looking for people who are willing to say yes, Lord, in all areas of their life. Now, first response. There are six responses of Moses. Here is Moses' first response. Look at verse 4. God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Now, that's a beautiful phrase, here I am. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah says those same words to God, here I am, except Isaiah adds a little phrase afterwards. Here I am, Lord, send me. Moses doesn't add that extra little phrase. You see, what Moses means by here I am is just a very simple word, and here it is. Present, Lord, I'm here. How would you say Congress is reviewed these days by the average American? Really positive, right? Maybe not. One of the things that irks me the most of politicians is when a very important vote takes place and the word goes out. How many yays? Yays, raise your hand. How many nays? The nays raise their hand. But there's always a few who vote present. They make it known that they were there for the vote. They were present. But they didn't declare themselves. They didn't say yay. They didn't say nay. Godless wonders. And I thought to myself, so many of us in church do the same thing. We hear the needs. We hear the requests. We hear the impassioned pleas. And we say, present. We have no intention of involving ourselves in any way, shape, or form. And we are like Moses, identifying with the fact that we're here. I did show up. I get some credit for that. But we never take it to the next step. Moses just says, here I am. So the Lord now wants to make his case. He wants to bring Moses to a place where he considers what he is being challenged to do. So we drop in back in verse 5, and the Lord casts his vision. Here it is. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac. All this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way of the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now that's a vision. Moses, I see what's going on with my people. I see how their slave drivers are cruel to them. I am coming to answer that prayer. You are my messenger. Now go. Okay, the Lord's made his case to Moses. Now, I want you to get the image. Burning bush. Dramatic encounter. Take off your shoes. Now, what would be your response? Now, we would like to flatter ourselves, I think. Oh, of course I'd say yes, of course. But my guess is we'd probably be a lot like Moses. We would have some serious questions. And so here's the first one, verse 11. Moses' second response from our perspective, it's this. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? First response, here I am, present. Second response is, who am I? Now, this is a great response. We like to give this one. Why would God choose me? I couldn't possibly be the right person for this particular task. And we do this in life all the time. You know, when I was in high school, my sport was track. I enjoyed it, but I wasn't really that good at it. In fact, I liked to describe myself as the best of the worst runners on the team. Now, if you know anything about track, the first heat or the first race of a particular run, for example, the 100-yard dash, is the scoring heat. So first, second, and third of that first heat is what's going to score for your team. I was never in the first heat. I was always in the second heat because there were plenty of runners, but they wouldn't be scoring. And so I would generally always win the second heat. I liked it. You know, it's great to come in first. Even if you're not scoring, the fact that you're the one who crosses the line first, it was a great experience. On one particular meet, though, we go to the school, and the coach informs me we have a problem. You see, we're going to run the 1 mile relay, and the third leg runner called in sick. Now, this was a problem. And the problem meant that he needed to draw upon one of the faster of the slowest runners, me, to run that third leg. Now, we had some great runners on the team. If you can even know anything about running a 440 quarter in our day, we did yards. The first runner ran it in 49 seconds. Now, that was close to Olympic time. We had a phenomenal team. The second runner ran his quarter in 52 seconds. I was the third runner, and then I passed the baton to the fourth runner, who ran it again in 49 seconds. After that race was run, the coach bypasses the other guys. He comes up to me and says, Steve, that was the fastest quarter you have ever run in your life. I ran 56 seconds. Now, I didn't compete with the real runners, but this coach knew that I ran the best I could ever run, and we won the race. We scored. Now, what did that coach see in me? He saw exactly what he needed. He wasn't looking for another 49-second runner. He was looking for somebody who would enable that race to be won, and he knew I could play a part. When God has a task for you, he is not automatically saying, oh, you're the best person in the whole world for this. But he is saying that you are the ideal person for what I need at this time, and I am challenging you to do it. And the absurdity of saying to God, who am I, when he knows your strengths, he knows your weaknesses, he knows what you are capable of doing, but he's calling you to do it. Second response of Moses, who am I? We move now to looking at God's response to that. Verse 12, God says to him, I will be with you. The next time you raise the question, who am I? Understand that God gives you a promise with his calling. I will be with you. I will take care of you. Now, for some of you who have been in this church long enough, you may have heard part of the story before. But when I was 1 year married, Amtrak decides to close the office in Carr Place and says, if you want to remain employed with Amtrak, you need to move to Chicago. Now, I was scared. I had never lived anywhere more than 5 miles from where I was born in Huntington. And now, should I move to Chicago or should I look for a different job? Well, I presented this idea to my wife. Now, for any of you who know Michelle, she is like the adventurer. She was born in California, lived 8 years in Tehran, Iran, has lived in New York, has lived in Las Vegas, has been to 40 countries around the world. So when I said, hey, you want to go to Chicago? In 3 nanoseconds, she says, sure, let's go. And I'm like, I need more time. But she's like ready to go. So I said to the Lord, Lord, I will go because I felt him leading me, but I need to know you're going to be present with me when I go. I need to know you're going to make straight the path. The Lord knew I needed this. This is my first day in Chicago. I pull into this town called Wheaton, where I decided we wanted to live. And I pull into a hotel. I go into my room. They not only have the Gideon's Bible in the room, which, you know, a lot of hotels had. They also had this Living Bible, modern translation. I turn on the TV. It's tuned to a Christian radio station. I turn on the radio in the room. It's turned to the Moody Bible Institute radio station. I'm like, this is kind of weird. I go down and take a swim in the pool. As I'm swimming, a woman comes up to me, starts sharing her faith in Christ, wondering if I'm ready to become a Christian. I go to bed. I wake up in the morning. I have breakfast at Denny's across the street. The person at that table is reading their Bible. The person over there is reading a book by James Dobson. And a person over there is reading a book by Chuck Swindoll. And I'm like, have I entered the Twilight Zone? You know, I'm a New Yorker. This does not happen in New York. I go into downtown Chicago, and I open my briefcase, and I take my Bible. First time on the job, and I just put it on my desk. Immediately, somebody said, Bible, you're a Christian. Let me introduce you to all the Christians in the office. I met 15 believers that day, my first day on the job. The Lord told me, I will be with you. And he was. You know what? The next time I had that same icky feeling of, Lord, I'm scared, was 9 years ago this weekend when this church decided to call me to be their pastor. And I said, Lord, if you promise to go with me, I'll go. And 9 years later, I can tell you, he has been with me. And I have felt his presence. And I have been blessed by that. For any of you who are saying, who am I? God says to you, I'll be with you. Breathe in, breathe out. It's going to be okay. I will be with you. But that wasn't quite enough for our friend Moses, because we read another response of God to God. Verse 13, he says, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? This boils down to this. Next point to the God. Suppose people have questions. You know, they might say, who are you to be in this position? You're teaching my kids? Why would you be doing that? And all those possible questions that people may have, wondering why you are qualified for this position. You know, I was recently rebuked by one of our staff members. And that's a challenge to rebuke your boss. But I am so grateful for the pastor who rebuked me. Here's the deal. I have a son. He's on the worship team. He's on the worship team today. And by the way, I share this story with his permission. He's our bass player today. When he was first asked by Ben to play bass, I said to my son, you're 14. Why are you saying yes to playing bass on our worship team? And then I said to Ben, you're asking my 14-year-old son to play bass? I mean, Ben, do you think that's a wise idea? And then a few weeks later, he says, Aaron, can you do the soundboard? Now, have you ever seen our soundboard? It's like 1,000 buttons there. And I'm like, Aaron, are you qualified to do this soundboard? I feel pretty comfortable, Dad. Aaron, are you sure? And this is what the staff member said. Steve, your son's a pretty good bass player. He's pretty good with technology. And you know what? If he does it, he's only going to get better. You're his dad. Why are you not cheering him on and supporting him? Ouch. And he was right. And I went to my son and I apologized. I said, I should be the one cheering you on. You know, I was thinking like the pastor, that I want the best on the stage. And the staff are telling me, your son's okay. Your son's learning. Your son's growing. Your son is ready for this. You know what? I was the very person who started raising the questions for my son. And if you volunteer for a ministry, somebody might raise questions about your talents. You know what I appreciate about my son? My son believed he could do it. I was asked. I didn't force my way to the stage. I was asked, Dad, I believe I can try this. I believe I can stretch. I believe I can become what God wants me to be. And that's what God says to you. Yeah, people may have questions. But you know what? Your God is with you. He is going to support you. And this is what we read in verse 14 of God's response. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you were to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. If somebody raises questions to you, take a line from the movie The Blues Brothers. I don't know if you ever saw this old movie. It has this great line. Here it is. I'm on a mission from God. That's going to shut anyone up who questions your ability to serve. What can you say to that? And it's true. If God has called you, you go for it, because you are on a mission from God Almighty. The I Am has sent you. Which brings us now to Moses' next response, because he's not done yet in terms of putting up some obstacles. Here it is, chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Next response of Moses is this: "What if no one believes me?" Now, what is the challenge here? The challenge here is that people may say to you, "You're teaching a Bible class? What's your education? What do we do with that? I'm not trained in Bible." Or you're in a situation where people question your wisdom for giving so much to the church. Are you insane? Why would you do that? You don't have enough money to do that. Or you're giving all this time to the church. Why would you do that? What if no one believes me? Listen to the Lord's response again. We read this now in chapter 4, verse 2. Then the Lord said to him, "Moses, what is in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it to the ground." Moses threw it to the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out, took hold of the snake. It turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Very simple message here is this: Moses, use what you have. Use what you have. I'm not asking you to use more than what you have. Just use what you have. The education you have is what God gave you. The background you have at this point is what the Lord has equipped you to this point. Use that. If God is calling you, He's expecting you to use that which He has already given you. Step out in boldness for that. You know what helps me sometimes get encouraged with this? It's one of my favorite preachers, actually located in Florida. Great church called Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale. Now, the pastor is a guy named Bob Coy. Some of you may have heard him, some when you go down to Florida. But what I love about Bob Coy, he's a great communicator of a church of about 20,000 people. And he has a high school education. But he took that high school education and he said one simple word to the Lord: "Yes, I'll do it, Lord." And God brought the increase. God used what he had and God blessed it and did wonderful things. You know what I love? The story in the New Testament. Remember when there were 5,000 people and they're all hungry? And Jesus says, "What should we do?" Disciples come back with the very wise word: "Lord, it would take a year's salary to feed all these people." And then Jesus said, "Well, what do we have on hand?" And they mentioned, "Well, there's this kid with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus is great. Interesting thing. That whole group of 5,000 people were fed with those 5 loaves and 2 fish. God will take what you have and multiply it. He will make it sufficient to the task. So go for it and press on. But Moses isn't quite done yet. Here we have in verse 10 of chapter 4, Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant. Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." Okay. What do you do with this? Here's the answer this time for Moses: "I'm not good at that. Lord, you're asking me to do something I just don't have any talent for." Now, first of all, there is an absurdity of saying this to God Almighty, because He knows who you are and He knows what you can do. I want to take you back to when I was about 25 years old. I'm in Illinois. I'm at a fairly new church for me. I think we have been there for about a year. And I'm at a Wednesday night prayer meeting. Now, the Wednesday night prayer meeting was about 15 people, mostly senior citizens, and Michelle and I. And so we're sitting in this prayer meeting, and downstairs in this church, they had a kids club going on, about 40 kids running around. And midway into the prayer meeting, somebody comes into the prayer meeting from downstairs and taps me on the shoulder. "Steve, can I talk to you a second?" I said, "Sure." So I leave the prayer meeting, and I said, "What can I do for you?" He said, "Our speaker tonight didn't show up. Could you speak to the kids?" Now, I'm 25. I have never spoken to children in my life. I have no kids at this point. And I'm thinking, why did you pick me? There are 15 people in this room. And I'm, you know, because the others are senior citizens or something, and I'm the one who's supposed to look the most qualified. You know, these are the things that are all going through my mind. And I said, well, how much time would I have to speak to them? Meaning, how long till now? You'd be on in 5 minutes. I said, yes. I went down, and I remember those staircase going down. I'm thinking, each step, Lord, what am I going to talk about? Lord, what am I going to talk about? And I thought, the Lord said to me, talk about your life. Talk about what you do for a living. Trains. So I work for Amtrak, so I'm going to talk about trains. So I go down and I tell them like an interesting story that happened working for the railroad. And I ended that story with a thought that, from the Bible, you know, kind of thing. And I muddled through. You know, within 1 month, I ended up leading the children's ministry in that church for that kids club. I thought to myself, I'm not good at that. And you know what I found out? I could do it. God provided the rest. He showed me how you talk to kids by being expressive, by telling stories and being energetic. And I thought, I can stretch and I can do that. But you know what? My first response could have been, no way. I never did it in my life. But God provided the increase. Listen to the Lord's response to Moses, verse 11. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes the deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. Now you think at this point, Moses is ready. He's going to say, okay, Lord, fine. Let's do this thing. Moses has one more response. It's found in chapter 4, verse 13. And here we are. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. I love that. Please send someone else. Anybody but me. The truth is that God is probably whispering to you right now what he would like you to stretch to be. If you're a believer, if you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, my guess is you already have a hint as to where you are supposed to stretch. For some of you, it is the time. You need to say no to some things and say yes to some other things. For others, it is time to raise the option of, I have certain talents, I want to make them available. Lord, where are those open doors? For some of you, it is in the area of finances. Let me give you an example on that issue of finances, because I haven't talked about that much. I have learned that there are certain people with deep pockets for certain things. If you are one of those people, you need to be saying, yes, Lord, when God speaks to you. 2 weeks ago, if you might remember, we had a special service commemorating 9/11. You might also remember that we had a special offering that day to raise money for Pastor Greg's church that he planted in Lower Manhattan, called the Lower Manhattan Community Church. I'm pleased to tell you that that offering, we raised $15,000 for that church, and I have the joy of handing that check to the pastor this week when we meet in the city for lunch. But how did that happen? Some people said yes in the area of their treasure because they knew that that was the area that they needed to respond to. So what are the takeaways for this morning? Well, you don't get any more practical than this message. I am, of course, supposed to be connecting with people in small groups. It's not just about Sunday morning. I am supposed to be celebrating together with the greater body of Christ each Sunday, whenever I'm available to do that. And I need to be contributing my time, my talent, my treasure. Inside your worship folder is a sheet. It looks like this. Contribute, fall 2011. And on this are the needs of both the Manhasset campus and of the Syosset campus, and also of worship ministry, student ministry, children's ministry, and Friday night outreach programs. Now, you can use this as a simple tool to say, yes, Lord. Now, the Lord has already been whispering to you, hey, you're my person to help out. You know what? this could be your moment right now. And you can fill out what you already feel the Lord is whispering to you. Or you could take this home and say, I'm going to pray about this, but here's my suggestion. My suggestion is that you move by faith. Mark something. You can even put in the notation. I don't know if I can do this, but I'm going to try. And fold it, and in a moment we're going to take our offering, and you can put this in the offering plate. And whoever is the ministry responsible for that will get back to you, and we'll see what will work out. Here's another response. Your response to participating. We are going to see a video in just a moment of something we are very excited about. We have three people, Pastor Ben, Leslie Maxey, and David Taylor, who are going to be running the New York Marathon coming up very shortly in November to raise money for children with World Vision. Now, here's the takeaway of this. You can watch the video and you can say, Lord, is this for me? The video is going to challenge you to do something very simple, to consider the possibility of supporting a child through World Vision to the tune of $35 a month and say, I can do this. I can say yes. I can make that part of my contribution to the kingdom of God. This could be your opportunity. You know what? I support a child. The child's name is Happy. I picked the child, quite honestly, because I like the name Happy. And we support every $35. You know what? Because of that, we started supporting another child. And then because of the example, one of my children started supporting a child. Because what happens is if you exemplify generosity and compassion in your family, your kids pick up on it and they understand what is most important. Particularly when you bring out the picture of your child at the supper table and you say, we're going to pray tonight for our child. And let the kids participate. And you know what happens at Christmas time? The kids have opportunity to buy gifts for their child. And sometimes they're funny gifts, like a chicken or a goat, because that's what they would most be benefited by. But you have that opportunity to be challenged. We're going to pray. And I'm going to pray that God opens my heart and yours to where we can contribute our time, our talent, and our treasure. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you that we have this beautiful experience this morning to be open to you and to acknowledge that I am not just supposed to vote present, but that I'm to be engaged in your kingdom. Some of us need to look at our time and to reassess what is our availability level to kingdom activities. Others, we need to look at the talents you've given us and say, I am available to do this, and step out in faith and say, I'm ready to sign up. And others, it's the treasure. We've been holding on to this stuff as if it's ours, and it's not. It's all yours. And whether it's giving to the church or whether it's giving to missionaries or whether it's sponsoring a child, you're calling us to raise the bar and saying, Lord, I am in this. I am ready to fully engage. Lord, I pray that you will use this holy moment, this sacred opportunity, to speak into our hearts to what we need to say. And I pray, Father, that Moses' responses will not be our responses, but that we would choose to be all that you would call us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to remind you, before Moses was Moses the deliverer, the one who took the children of Israel into the promised land, he was Moses the waffler, who gave every excuse he could, but God still used him.